We can get over to our dear friend, yeah, our buddy, our
wiki,
pal.
Wiki pal.
That's right. Paul Preston from the Movie Guy.
Oh, what am I?
Hey.
My man. Oh, I have a question about a movie, sir, I saw.
Well, hey, that's why I'm here.
My man, real quick, so I have a question. So I'm not the biggest Zack Snyder fan, but I sat down when I was sick last week, and I forced myself to watch Rebel Moon, the first one. Have you seen that movie, sir?
Nope. I'd be honest with you, I got to fool me once, you know, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you.
It pissed
thing about
me
Zack
off
Snyder,
so
it's like, so I never even watched it.
It's like, He's good at visuals. I'll give him that. He's good at visuals.
Okay.
But I had to force myself to watch it. And I started watching the second one. And I got 10 minutes in. I was like, you know what? Hard pass. I'm okay.
You know what? I'm already sick. What am I doing to myself?
It was for real, man. Like, it was because I literally did sit there like, why am I really watching this shit? Like, why? What is the point of this? And I made myself sit there watching. I was like, okay. Props out to him. He got a hustle. He got a movie deal out of this, and he got this whole universe. But it was a Star Wars movie that he pitched, and Lucasfilm turned it down.
Oh wow!
So Netflix did his own thing with it, and when you watch it, you understand why they was like, "No, we'll pass." Because it's irritating.
Yeah.
It was more irritating, and
there's
sometimes
I wonder about Zack Snyder, you know, in his films and his choices and what he does.
Oh, he's just been allowed to like right. He's really good at visual, and the thing that did it for him was 300. 300 was so good, and the visual
was so good
that he uses like that same slow motion. That's just what he fucking does now. So it's in everything, and now you've given him carte blanche
to just do
what he want to do, and it's just like, yeah, man. Somebody else should stick to writing. Let somebody else stick to writing. And then just direct. Just don't do nothing else. Just direct.
Make it look pretty.
Yeah.
But you don't do the content. So
yeah,
I have a question.
My fault, Paul. My fault. My bad.
He peaked early for me. I liked it. I think his remake of Dawn of the Dead better than anything else he's done.
That was good too. I agree.
I have a question for Paul.
Watchmen I enjoyed, but
Watchmen was good.
If it were a little more like the novel, it would have been better, but it's still pretty damn good. And the slow motion and all the sort of iconic photography of superheroes and all that he established in that, he then brought to all his other movies, I think, with just less compelling storylines.
Indeed.
But I didn't see Rebel Moon. God bless you for taking that on.
I won't do that. Mistake won't happen again.
There you go. See, that's me. That's where I am.
So my question for you, Paul, is did you see Wicked?
Well, I come here, yes, to chime in about the two, I mean, Glad of Wicked, Dicky Hater, or whatever you're calling the Gladiator and Wicked double team.
Right. They call it Glicked, not Glicked or
Glicked.
Glicked, yeah.
That's funny.
Okay, so
it wasn't quite the Barbenheimer phenomenon because no one was double featuring it, but they should have. I mean, they are disparately, you know, not the same. But what's your question?
Well, because you didn't seem to be looking forward to it last time we talked with you. And so now I want to know what you think after you saw it, because I saw it and I have an opinion. So what do you think?
Well, yes, it is true. I was on here talking about how I thought there was a little bit of over singing in that preview, you know, where I'm like, I don't need you to bring your American Idol shit to this Broadway show.
Just sing the shit.
It's all laid out. Stephen Schwartz laid it all out, and it's been hit for 20 years. We know what to do. However, I think they unjustly put that in the trailer, for me at least, because it led me to believe this is how it's all going to be.
Right.
Well, I'm here happy to report it's not.
No.
They stick to what makes Wicked great throughout the rest of the movie. And so, Stephen Schwartz, the legendary songwriter, and the writer of the adaptation of the book to stage, Winnie Holtzman worked on this, and so it's all there. And thankfully, director John Chu, who, let's not forget, directed G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Well,
yeah, I did. But,
Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah, and Crazy Rich Asians and In the Heights, which In the Heights is like fantastically underseen, unfortunately. It's a great movie. So that's where he kind of, you know, got his wheels spinning on musicals, and he brought that here. So Wicked is utterly fantastic.
It's so good,
I want all movies to be great. And, you know, but I was worried about this one, like I said, and And I, you know, not just that little bit, but other things too made me skeptical about it. First of all, that the movie is longer. This is an unannounced part one.
Yep.
You know, then when you sit down in front of it, it's just, at least they tell you at the top of the movie,
right?
That it's part one, like, you know, Mission Impossible. At least you know. But you know, Dead Reckoning Part One, although they call the new one the Final Reckoning, I think. So they, yep, either way,
changed
it. Either way, you know it's going to end, and you're not going to be utterly satisfied, but because the story isn't concluded.
Right.
But there are plenty of other reasons to be completely satisfied by this version of Wicked.
Totally.
So, even though it's longer than this part one is longer than the entire stage play.
Yeah. So I was talking to Sean about it before we started.
It doesn't feel it.
It doesn't feel like it, but they also had the book. There's so much setup in the book, right? And I do feel like that they were much more true to the book in the movie than they were in the musical. You do get a lot of that, like, grounding information that you wouldn't get on a musical. So I loved it, and I'm glad to hear you say that you really liked it too, because I'm seeing it again this weekend with Jamie. Also, for dudes, the last 15 minutes are like so action packed. Shit's exploding. Like, you guys will love it.
Can I watch it? I should just watch the last 15 minutes.
Can you what?
Can I watch it with my baby girl?
100% you can.
Oh, okay. All right.
100% you can.
I'll watch it with her.
So I'll just watch the last 15 minutes then.
Oh my God. All right. Thank you, Paul.
Because that way it's like the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah. If you don't know, it's based on the novel that I haven't read. Basically, I can't read books. The books are,
I can't read.
You know, the book is always better than the it's book always is better. Always better than the movie. Right. I love movies. I can't have the movie be bad, so I stopped reading books. But
I can understand that.
So I'll have to take your word for it on its adaptation.
I know one film that reverses that. I thought the movie for Fight Club was actually better than the book theatrically. The book was good.
Yeah, Chuck Palahniuk's book. Every once in a while.
Yeah, but the movie, yeah, it was just, yeah, it was bad.
Guys, I'm here to tell you, I think this movie, and I adore that book. I've read it probably 6 times. I think the movie not only does the book justice, but it may be better.
Wicked?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we're shedding any light on the plot, but for anyone who doesn't know, it's about Glinda and Elphaba, the good witch and wicked witch. When they first meet, they have a rivalry at the sorcery and magic school, but it ultimately leads to a friendship.
Spin-off.
And I got a shout out to Myron Kirstein. He's your editor. So him with John M. Chu, I need to point out that it's because of those two, you know, part of the reason that the thing just moves along pretty quickly. There was one song, I'm Not That Girl.
Yeah.
Which, the songs, as opposed to Kimberly Akimbo, which won Best Musical a few years ago, I just saw at the Pantages recently, and
so
didn't
good.
Care for it.
You
didn't? I didn't care for it. Well, it seems like every time they broke into a song, it was kind of to sing about what was exactly happening at the moment. Like, we're driving everything, we're doing this, we're doing that. Whereas Wicked wisely takes the general you know, idea of a musical is the characters can no longer speak how they feel. It requires a song for them to go into the next level of expression. So that happens all the time here.
That's true.
I'm Not That Girl to me just kind of says what we just discovered in the scene that she just previously had with Fiero.
It's going to be so important in part two, Paul. That song
probably
is going to be so important in part two.
I'll take your word for it. I'll take your word for that, and look forward to it now. Whereas I wasn't sure, you know, I wasn't even going to be excited about any of this before.
That's wicked.
You couldn't have.
Yeah. For anyone who doesn't know anything about this, yeah, they're going, does this take place in Boston? Yeah. But
that was Detroit.
Yeah.
Oh wait, that's the Wiz, isn't it?
But these songs, yeah, like, I mean, Defying Gravity, I mean, they're not talking about, we're being chased by the bad guy, you know.
No.
They're talking about achieving their own personal power, exceeding their own personal dreams, and, you know, all this kind of stuff that is metaphoric, and I think that's better than any kind of song. And Stephen Schwartz is just legend. The guy wrote Godspell, Pippin, you know, he's like, one of the greats of all time. So these songs are amazing. And I'm casually watching the movie. I'm enjoying the plot. I'm having a good time. And they so stuck the shit out of the landing of this movie. I was sobbing when it was over.
Yes!
I can't even like figure
Everybody
out how I got
in the
there.
Theater was except crying.
For, yeah, except for general excellence in filmmaking. I was just like amazed. Now,
I think
my
that
fiance,
final
Susan,
number is so powerful though that everybody just started bawling.
Yep.
That's correct.
Sure.
Correct. Yeah, my fiancée Susan saw it twice. She doesn't do that. So yeah, that's worth noting as well.
So she has a cold heart then, huh?
She doesn't go to movies twice very often.
Well, thank you for indulging me.
She saw this one twice. Gladly we'll talk about it. I mean, it just won the National Board of Review's pick for best film. I think it's in the running. I think you'll see it get a best picture nomination.
Really?
Another good thing that Susan brought up was that the world is so full of music, like the world they create in this, that it never is jarring when someone breaks into song. Which I kind of agree. You know, sometimes it's like, well, and then they go into a song. You know,
right.
Kind of flowed a little more. And I want to point out the name I saw in the credits that I think contributed to that as well, which is John Powell, the great composer for many DreamWorks movies. It's How to Train Your Dragon scores, like outstanding.
Oh, that's a beautiful score, yeah.
Yeah, and he scored Solo, a Star Wars Story, and a bunch of other stuff. The Kung Fu Panda music is great, too. But I think him working with Stephen Schwartz, just kind of creating a world that's not just all this great stage music, but I think Powell translates a lot of that cinematically, and so it's a whole vibe that works really well.
I'm going to listen for that tonight when I see it again, because you're right, but I didn't realize it in the moment. And now...
And I could go on about Erivo and Grande. They're both outstanding. Cynthia Erivo's been great for a while. You know, her
she's good.
Harriet Tubman performance is fantastic.
The
as
color
Aretha
purple.
Franklin.
Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. She definitely got on Broadway there and you know, did her work there. But Goldblum. I mean, Jeff Goldblum. God.
Dude, I hated Jeff him Goldblum. For a minute after that movie. And I adore him.
Oh, he's so great. Because he just does his thing.
He's just Goldblum.
You know, it's like Cage. You know, you come in and do that thing you do.
Yeah.
Just be you.
Goldblum is such a good actor at heart. Like, if you watch really good performances from him, like The Fly, or, you know, I mean, he's...
He's good. He's really good.
I feel like
he does his thing, which is like, oh, yes, well, Oz, you know, like he's so bizarre.
I'm a good guy.
But in the end, he connects with each actor and he plays it while doing his signature take on line delivery that you come to love. So it's a great combination of the best things about him in this performance.
I feel like he's become kind of like one of those actors, same way that Nicholson became. It's a caricature of himself.
Oh, yeah, a little bit,
100%, yeah. 100%, 100%.
Kind of, but Nicholson's such a good actor you just give him a good role and they'll both rise to the occasion.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, but there's just those moments, whatever, like you said, you know, it's the typical Jeff Goldblum, you know, movements that he does and the delivery of the lines. And it's, like I said, it's become a caricature of himself, you know, in the way that Nicholson played Nicholson as he got older.
Right.
You know, versus trying to go into a deeper part of the role. He was just trying to be himself, whatever. But
is that pre or post Witches of Eastwick?
Pre. I think he was a lot better. But post, it's like,
All right. I have one last thing about Wicked, and I just want Paul's opinion. So I was dead set on Ariana Grande being awful. I do think her opening number is super rough. You could tell she's not a Broadway. She's a pop performer 100%. But her acting was delightful. Her choices were so good.
Well, considering that there were literally hundreds of Christian Chenoweth knockoffs in every role across Broadway for like the last two decades.
Yeah.
You know, every time someone auditioned for a part, you know, they had to go and do all the nasally stuff. And you could tell it wasn't legitimate. Like if I act like this, I'll be considered. It's like, but I think whatever Ariana Grande is doing is Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
And so it comes off as legitimate, if it comes off as real, because that's her thing. If she was just doing the what everybody's doing, boy, I've got to tell you, it's just, I've adjudicated some like songs and stuff from like high school theater festivals, and they come in and they just sing with that, it's just a nasally take on musical theater that seems to, like, everyone thinks that's what we want to see now because Kristen Chenoweth made it so popular. But with Kristen Chenoweth, that's her.
Right.
Everyone else, I think, is faking it. And Ariana doesn't do Chenoweth. And whatever she does, she's not faking it as well. And I think that bodes well for the film.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on now.
She's super funny, too. She's also
really funny, guys.
Yeah.
Really funny.
Well, Misty, we haven't convinced anybody. But We love it.
When it wins Best Picture, we'll be like, we told you so.
That's still
very happy for you guys.
It's in the mix. That and Anora, which I talked about previously.
Which one?
Right up there. Anora, which I talked about last time.
Yeah.
Those two are going to be talked about a lot in the next couple months. So.
What's the other movie we got, Paul?
Wicked.
Well, we can talk about Gladiator 2 real quick. Didn't like this one quite as much as the other. My biggest complaint would be it felt like a movie throughout. You know, as opposed to like taking me to this place where all this stuff happens. You know, it's a tough sort of intangible thing to kind of try to describe, but it felt like I was watching a movie. Now, that being said, impressive recreation of time, place. You can take it for granted at this point. I remember when I worked at the special effects stages at Universal Studios Hollywood, they were always showing clips from the original Gladiator, which had like a line down the middle, and it showed you Russell Crowe walking through a gladiatorial arena set with green screens above it, and then the other half would be the finished shot of like all the, you know, all the rest of the arena filled in, all the extras in place, all the, you know, it just was super impressive. And there's got to be so much of this movie that is simply not there. That to imagine it while you're making it and then to see it through to how it eventually looks, again, you take it for granted. So if you do see this, don't take that for granted. Be like, I'm watching some pretty crazy stuff here. And the story is cool. It's 16 years after the first movie. You've got more young corrupt asshole emperors in charge, and people are plotting against them. And then there's this soldier who's from Numidia, which I think is like northern Africa, and coming across the Mediterranean Sea or the Roman invasion. And this guy his wife dies and he gets enslaved. That's your Paul Mescal main character. And he becomes a gladiator, wants to seek revenge in this life or the next, you know, just like the last time.
So basically it's a retelling of the original story as opposed to a continuation.
It's a continuation. Yeah, it's a continuation.
16 years later.
But is it?
But the story
is the same.
Yeah, like it's the same story, but 16 years later, right?
Kind of. Yeah. Well, I mean, certainly then the main character we're following, his lineage sort of comes to light, and there's interesting choices with how some of the characters' stories play out that I don't want to say. But Pedro Pascal's character is very interesting, I think, throughout it all. You know, when there's like characters who are against each other, but you kind of like them both. You know, so that's always a fascinating in a movie.
And how was Denzel?
Oh, it's so much fun to watch. A little over the top, but I mean, just Denzel. You know, I feel like it's been a minute since he. You know, the last thing he was probably in was an Equalizer movie, but here he's really got a lot to play with, and he's fun. Crazy action sequences, slave revolts, armies fighting, gladiator battles. When all hell breaks loose, that's when it's great. You know, and I visited the Coliseum over 10 years ago now, and they talked about how, yeah, they used to flood it and recreate these giant ship battles. And now, of course, you realize, oh, wait a minute, they weren't just like doing a show. They would put like the gladiators on each of the ships, and they would kill each other for the amusement of the emperor. So that happens here, which is crazy. There's been a big to-do about how there are sharks in the water. And when you think about it, you're like, yeah, I don't know how the hell they got a shark.
Right.
Into Rome from the sea, you know, wherever. But it's still fun. But the point is, the ship battles actually did happen, and it's crazy to watch that.
Wow!
Again, it's just a big spectacle. There's like a rhino at one point, a guy riding a. I mean, it's just nuts. So all that stuff is fun. You want to just go watch some just mayhem and gore?
Rome.
And,
I mean, I check talk about Gladiator. Rome every 3 minutes every day.
You're that guy. You're the guy they talk
about. This is for you. Then. I can't get past this whole conversation. The only thing I've heard is gladiatorial, which you said, is that a word? Like, I've never. Yeah. All right, I learned something new. Thanks, Paul.
Gladiatorial?
Maybe, yeah, that one. That one. I don't know.
Well, I got a question about a movie. Then, since everybody else got questions,
what was that?
What about Moana 2? What about?
it has not gotten great reviews.
What about Moana 2, Paul?
Okay, so this movie made an insane amount of money, $220 million its opening weekend. It led coupling with Wicked and Gladiator 2's second weekend.
Respectable, yeah.
$450 million, the biggest Thanksgiving Day weekend in history. So if you think the theaters dead, just bring stuff that people want to see and that people will come, Ray. So I didn't see it. I honestly don't remember Moana.
I never saw the first one.
I don't remember it. I remember the Rock was fun. Lin-Manuel's songs were good.
They were great.
But I honestly don't remember what the story was. So I haven't been in a rush to see this. Also, Disney's slate outside of Marvel is a little... I mean, we're going to get Moana. They're making a live-action Moana.
Oh,
then we're going to get a live-action.
Really? Yeah, I've seen the pictures of him in the Rock is wearing a suit. He's wearing a full body suit to be.
Yeah.
We're getting a live action Lilo and Stitch.
That's why they've been holding on to him. Okay, that makes sense.
Heard that too.
Who's going to play Stitch? Danny DeVito?
I hope it ain't fucking Jack Black.
Oh, not another Jack
Wish? You remember the movie Wish?
Yeah, but barely.
I think they maybe got skittish and said, "Screw the new stuff. Let's just like reboot and live action." God,
I hate it when Disney does that, though.
Oh, that's all they do, man.
God. They're on a run of that now, but except for, of course, Marvel. I mean, Deadpool and Wolverine was insane, and we're gonna get another. We're gonna get the first Anthony Mackie Captain America movie. We're getting Fantastic Four. I mean, they're gonna do
that's
great.
That's right, cousin.
They got a lot coming out. Marvel got a lot coming out next year.
Yeah, but the animated and the other stuff, I don't know. It just seems like they're. Moana 2 was supposed to be a series on Disney Plus. They put it in the theater, and now it's one of the biggest movies of all time. So, I mean, I'm glad they did that.
I saw break records. It was breaking records.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So I'm glad they did that. I'm glad it's a hit in that respect.
Sorry, I happened to hear the review as we were leaving the show last week on NPR, and he ripped it a new one and just said it was like too frenetic all the way through, that there wasn't like arcs and troughs to like get you comfortable. It's just like bam, bam, bam in your face the whole time.
Gotcha. Yeah. Huh.
That's the other thing. It's one of those like a Transformers movie that's going to make a ton of money and get bad reviews.
Then you're never going to you're not going to remember any of it. It's just,
so the average audience rating right now for that movie is a 3.5.
Yeah, that's,
I just saw that.
Out of what?
From Moana 2?
Out of 10.
Wow. Out of 10. You get that's a solid.
But kids like it, and it's made for the kids.
It's colorful.
That's why they made it, because,
I mean, I don't know if you guys have AMC A-List, but it's one of those movies, you know, where it's like, it's included. Hey, you want to see Transformers Rise of the Beasts?
It's included. Yeah, that paid for it. Might as well. It's scripted, so, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably better than other film we watched.
We're about to get into awards season, so then I'm excited.
So that's the perfect movie, because my girl's like, put on the movie you watched that I haven't watched. So we can watch something. What? All right.
Why not? Fuck it. I can manage this again.
Cool.
Appreciate you, Paul.
Absolutely, brother. And so we'll see you, what, after the first of the year now?
Yeah, probably. And then we'll have, you know, we'll get into award season. We'll recap the holiday movies that it came out. I mean, then again, I don't know. I don't care about the Lord of the Rings animated movie.
Neither do I.
I've heard it's trash.
I don't care about Sonic. Yeah, I do.
So. Actually, I saw the preview last week. It looks kind of good.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I like the first two.
I'm just happy they didn't fuck Sonic up.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I like it.
Yeah, I saw the preview last week before Wicked.
It's two I'm Jim Carreys. I don't care. I'm mad.
It's double the carry.
Yeah, right? Come on.
It's almost a shame that that's where he's decided to be funny. Like, it seems like he doesn't want to be funny.
He won't
like
do comedy anymore.
He's kind of the same way. He had a stretch, of course. This new Axel F movie's great, but it seemed like he had a stretch for a while. I was like, man, I don't feel like being funny. So, Jim Carrey to be funny, I should probably go watch those just to see him be funny, because he's so funny.
He's really good in those movies. He is so good in that movie.
He's really good in the Sonic movie.
Yeah, really good. He's the whole movie.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
That's the only place he's going to do it. I probably should go watch then. But.
All right, buddy. We will catch you next time, my friend, then.
Farewell. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, brother.
Peace out. Take
care, bud. Love you, Paul.
Wicca, wicca, wicca.
Oh, my God. So good.
Mixtape coming. coming soon.
Yeah, man. Yeah. DJ Paul P.
That's dope, yeah. Love Paul.
I like Paul.
Love Paul. Man. Paul's so good, man.
Oh shit, Paul!
Now, if you guys ever get a chance, and you live up towards that area to a degree, because Paul lives up in Burbank. Mm-hmm. If you ever catch him or see him a post, whatever, that he's doing stand-up comedy somewhere.
Oh, I don't know, did stand-up.
Go watch him, dude.
I watch Paul.
He'll host certain things or whatever, and you know, Paul is just a down-to-earth guy, so talented and very quick-witted, though. You know, I love it. I just love it. Which
I might have to go check a stand-up.
Which makes him part of this show so good. He just blends right in. Yeah, just blends right in.